a little boy around the table at home. I remember very well when company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good but chicken on the plate. But I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways. Because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
Saturday, July 1st, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful Independence weekend, wherever you are. You know, independence is a good thing. Independence from whom, we should be asking. That's a tip of that to Mr. Mike Gaddy for narrowing that in to us. But anyway, tonight's episode is episode number 31. It is entitled Noticing Patterns with Miss Monica Schaefer. So we are very delighted to have our good friend and fellow troll slayer here with us tonight. She is most known for her work in the revisionist movement. Of course, you know, she became in my radar back when I was getting learned at App State University about the Hull hoax. I was turned onto this delightful young and very talented lady from Canada who was a very good violinist and great sense of humor and was apologizing to her mother on video on the new media of YouTube. And lo and behold, that became one of the most censored and gone after pieces of just raw truth that I've seen this side of, you know, the great New Pearl Harbor of 9/11 when everything got bumped up a ramp on these type of operations. But they definitely came after her and her brother, the other half of the those darn Schaefer kids, as they're known, with their hate facts and reason and things like that. And I hear that the it's rumored they both keep tidy houses, and that's a sign of systematic racism and white supremacy here in New Germany, as well as in the United States, as we all become these third world countries. But anyway, she is just, you know, everywhere on the truth circuit, and she has a book out by the same title, is, you know, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. And so tonight we're also going to be doing a big experiment with Spreaker. Last time this guest was on, Spreaker did a nasty little trick and struck the show down. They just, first, it looked like I had recorded an hour of nothing, and then it was just gone. And then I got a notice saying, oh, so sorry, but we had to delete your show last night because it violated our terms of service. And you read down in the term of service that I violated was I played music. And their terms of service says that if I had played music during my podcast, that, you know, it will flag. Of course, I use the exact same intro for all my shows, you know, since day one when I went on Spreaker to do a podcast that started with a piece of music that I happened to write myself. But, you know, so all of you, 8 years or whatever of doing content, and Spreaker suddenly flags me for using music. So we're going to see if tonight's conversation sparks those nasty little AI buggies, and we'll flag this for some reason and get struck down on one of our multi-carriers. But anyway, so we're going to have the phone lines open for the newbies after the bottom of the hour. You can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can join us in the chat room at bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. And like we say, the sun never set on the Trading Post chat room, we've got some of the best people literally on the planet posting in there 24 hours a day. And, you know, for the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living, come out to the chat room. And but if you're looking for a knife fight, we'd just assume you go someplace else. But anyway, so I wonder what Miss Monica wants to talk about tonight. The weather. We're finally having brutally honest June weather the way it's supposed to be on the first day of July here. So this is North Carolina summer on the July Independence Weekend. It is hot. It is muggy. And, of course, we have air quality alerts of, you know, because of all those nasty climate change forest fires that keep getting set somehow. Or maybe she wants to talk about the big Watauga debate, which is still going on, whether, you know, which was more hateful, angry black mammoth from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white driver in a semi-trailer, tractor trailer, truck. Excuse, that's hard to say. In New Boone, echo, 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 or some kid waving a swastika flag near the carpet-bagging chicken swinger synagogue of Satan clubhouse. Or maybe she wants to talk about that risen from the dead. They should have just let it go. But no, the new Todd, echo, 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 Liberty Parade is back on in Watauga County, North Kakalaki. Yes, they let it die during COVID, but they've decided this year to resurrect it. And it is going to be just as fake and gay as ever. If you're not familiar with the Todd Liberty Parade, this is what happens when you have NGO artists come in and invade your area and start running psyops on all the children, right? This is a massive grooming operation focused at grooming these children towards globo homo and away from nationalism, patriotism, pride, you know, pride in your own culture, etc. So Todd Liberty Parade, since after 9/11, go figure, all these things happened up here in New Boone after 9/11, but suddenly you had this art center come in after 9/11 that was sponsoring this Liberty Parade, and it was basically the, you know, we are global citizens of the high country. We are here to replace the old ways, and we're going to be creating a new South here in the mountains of North Kakalaki, right? And they do it with puppets and parades and all this really feel-good stuff. And it's the biggest Marxist operation you could ever imagine. They tried to recruit me, thinking I was one of them when I first got back into town all those years ago. But so that's back on. So we're going to see how fake and gay it was this year. The next show, I'll keep you posted. So, or maybe she wants to talk about how that magical time of the year is upon us again. Speaking of things risen from the dead, they try almost let this die during COVID, but no, App State's Hoax Week will be back on with a vengeance this year. If you remember the first and last time I attended, where I got threatened with arrest for merely making hate fact statements and asking the wrong questions, which according to the App State Holocaust Judaic and peace study staff was, you know, violating of what they were trying to accomplish there. But anyway, so basically App State Hoax Week is that magic time of year when all the area carpetbagging chicken swingers emerge from their gated communities and flock to New Boone, North Kakalaki to celebrate their ultimate victimhood as they guilt trip all these student teachers that are gullible enough to listen to them and run roughshod over any locals who dare try to show up with any facts. So this is like a Solomon Ash group performance art piece, right, where all the Jews from all over come and they converge and make sure that nobody steps out of line. And if they do, they've got the escalation procedures in place. But anyway, so basically they get to sit around and celebrate how much they hate Germans, Europeans, Americans, and pretty much all other white people, especially the ones that actually built Appalachian State University and, you know, tamed this piece of wilderness in the Appalachian Mountains. Or maybe she wants to talk about the stunned silence for a week when Mockingbird Media finally acknowledged that Roseanne Barr really did say what she said last week, that the Holocaust never happened, but that it should. And you know, it took them a week to figure out how they were going to play it, but finally they came in and said her satire was in bad form. It's not funny. The Holocaust really did happen. Or maybe she wants to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court shooting down affirmative action, that anti-whiteism, at targeting both Harvard and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, North Kakalaki. They are big mad because they got targeted out and said that they can't discriminate against straight white qualified students coming into their universities anymore. And this is going to sabotage decades of what they've been trying to accomplish in these universities. Or maybe she wants to talk about, after the perfect start of White Boy Summer 2023, last week participating in Ham Radio's yearly Field Day weekend, one of the whitest sports in the world, up there with beekeeping and guns, right? Our legal guns, you know, marksmanship, I should say. Imagine my dismay after having the perfect weekend last week of fellowship and goodwill. You know, I opened my latest letter from ARRL, that's the National Association for Amateur Radio, announcing their brand new edition of the General Class License Manual and their study guide. And it's complete with, you got it, the photo of an angry black woman replete with dreadlocks in the captain's seat and a wispy white soy boy, you know, trying to keep up as this angry black woman explains how radio works to him in a way in which his white maleness will allow him to understand a high priestess of Wakanda and all. So tip of the hat to the ARRL for going woke, you know, and really pushing the diversity on, of all things, a license manual. There you go. It's got slime mold everything. I wonder who made that decision at the office. Or maybe she wants to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop, or what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, or France is burning, or the really big outrage that she nor her brother nor myself got so much as a mention this year at the Tony Awards, and the category, back me up here, Monica, the category of way off Broadway, really bad dinner theater was not even mentioned. So those trophies didn't go to anybody, and you know, you should have definitely won your Tony this year for your performance as the mysterious art babe in our last production at Really Bad Dinner Theater. So with that said, or maybe she just wants to talk about fishing. So welcome back to the Snack Shack, Miss Monica Schaefer, and tell us, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Oh, gee, that last one, what a disappointment. They missed us for those awards. My goodness, how I just can't even fathom how did they miss that. Oh, that's a good intro. Thanks.
So how are you today?
I'm doing very well. And by the way, this is the 1 year anniversary of my brother Alfred Schaefer getting out of the, what do you call it? The chicken shack?
The chicken shack. Yes.
Yeah, it's exactly 1 year that he was released from jail after being there for 4 years, basically for demonstrating how high his dog Pavlov can jump.
Yes.
Oh, so dangerous gesture, you know, that open palm arm that you can hold at certain angles, you know, to call a taxi or to call a waiter. But if you have that at that certain angle, oh boy, that's the red light. You know, the red light goes on and then it's a big crime and you go to jail. So anyway, that we should celebrate 1 year out for Alfred today.
Yeah, but if you flash that power salute, the angry fist of communism, you could probably get a scholarship to Appalachian State University. So, you know, there you go. So,
yeah. So and it's also Canada Day here. So this is our July 4th is July 1st, Canada Day today here. So I'm not sure if we should be, you know, celebrating something to do with that or not.
We can celebrate that we're two European descent people that are still here on Independence Days in both countries.
You know? That's right. That's
so,
right.
In an existential battle, surviving is the main objective, and we are still here and putting up the good fight. So, yes, let's celebrate our independence. How's that?
Exactly. And I know that Alfred was very happy to come out on, and the, you know, the, he didn't know if he was going to actually be released. And he was doing some pretty strong demonstrations of still thinking freely and acting in a free manner just up to a few days before he was let out. So it was, he was on definitely on pins and needles to see if he was actually going to be released, and lo and behold, he was. And he had all the prison staff and the guards, they were all saying things to him like, Herr Schäfer, we need you out there, don't come back in here, we need you out there, because they were all on side with him, because they were all waking up to what was going on.
Isn't that incredible? Funny how that shifting Overton window works, you know. Their entire argument is based on lies. And, you know, in the currency of lies, once they're exposed, they lose their value, right? And so as we're, you know, we're slowly chipping away at all this Holocaust, Hollyhoax, you know, currency, and realizing that you basically just have a, you know, international criminal syndicate, homicidal death cult that wants you dead. And they were hiding behind this poor, pitiful us story the whole time, you know. So there you go.
Indeed. And you know what I am finding, and I've been injected with new hope and vigor and spirit and optimism, because what I've been finding lately, and I just finished a little bit of a road trip into Alberta, and I met a lot of people, and I'm telling you, they are hungry for the truth about all these things, including World War II true history. People who have just woken up in the last 3 years. You know, I've come to the conclusion that before this COVID craziness started, the big wake-up call for a lot of people was 9/11, and it remains so. However, now the big wake-up call has been this COVID stuff. So I met and spoke with many people who literally just woke up in the last 3 years about something going on, something not being quite right. They hadn't yet connected the dots. And when I spoke to them, they were ever so grateful for what I was telling them, and they were ready to hear it, and they were lapping it up and eager to learn the truth and connect the dots. And I'm telling you, it was, they really injected me with renewed spirit and hope, Frederick, because they are ready. This is golden opportune time to connect the dots and notice the patterns, as you like to say, noticing patterns. And yeah, so I can just say that this is really a golden time for helping people to understand the bigger picture. And the Holo hoax is still the number one lie, I would say, that when that falls, and it is falling very quickly, that lie, then that their house of cards comes tumbling down. And I'm telling you, they are in panic mode. And that's why they're just going crazy. They're like trapped in a corner and flailing like a wild animal, backed up in a corner and flailing about wildly, making all kinds of crazy moves and lots of mistakes. And people are noticing.
That is so true, and from every angle. That's the thing, is it's fascinating to me to have somebody like yourself on to say, what are you seeing from where you are through all your media filters, et cetera? What patterns are you seeing? What patterns are you not seeing, right? And
yeah,
then compare that with somebody out of Australia, somebody in South Africa, somebody, you know, in the UK, somebody in France, you know, et cetera. And then we just, you know, we're starting to make these big meta pictures of, okay, how do you find the enemy you can't see? You know, that you look at where they've been. So we've created these wonderful timelines and then just map their lives to it. And, you know, it's like, okay, now look at the pattern from here and now see, you know, who the enemy is that you can't see and you can't name, right? And that's what I think is fascinating, that is being exposed.
Yes. And, you know, you did just touch upon the weather. Maybe I want to talk about the weather. And on that note, I would like to just briefly touch upon something regarding the weather, because, like you say, they are at war with us. It's a war that is not of our choosing, and we didn't start this war, but we're in it. So we should notice all the angles that they are attacking us on, and one of them is the weather. They are creating weather warfare with their chemtrails, with their energy weapons, and these fires, which in many parts of Canada we've had mega fires, which in some areas, you know, they all just happen to start at once. And then in the news, I mean, they couldn't help but say something about that, so they pinned the blame on some lone arsonists, pretending like it was just a sort of like the lone gunman or the lone nutcase that talks about these forbidden subjects. But in this case, it's the arsonists. But these were just patsies, of course. And then you have Elizabeth May, the leader of the Green Party of Canada. She tweets something to this effect: "Oh, I'm really trying hard to find forgiveness in my heart for the real arsonists, those politicians who are subsidizing the gas and oil industry." So she takes one deception, that being this, you know, the lone arsonists starting fires, when really, in fact, it's a coordinated act of warfare. And then she takes it and layers on another deception with that comment about, oh, the politicians who are subsidizing gas and oil. So she's amplifying the climate change, global warming hoax with that comment. So I find that particularly despicable. And that is the leader of the Green Party of Canada, Elizabeth May. So just another little tidbit about the weather warfare.
Well, what's fascinating that you talk about that is last week's guest was, actually week before last, I was going to have on, I had on Mr. John Percent. We had this whole show that we kind of, you know, laid out with, you know, and had various sound bites about exactly what you're talking about, you know, weather modification, weather warfare, and, you know, just how ancient, you know, this topic is. If you could only just, you know, control the weather and be like Zeus, et cetera, you know, that's always been the dream of every commander. Because one of the worst things about warfare is you have the perfect strategy plan, and suddenly the weather changes, and there goes your strategy, you know. And so, you know, we had all this mapped out, and then as things happen with live radio, we went in a totally different direction and never even played any of the clips.
Oh,
but, yeah. But he's done all this research about, you know, okay, well, you know, weather modification is a fact. You know, these are the various patents. These are the methods. You know, as soon as they had airplanes, they were going up and doing things to seed clouds and see if they could change the weather, et cetera. And then, you know, all of this. And then, you know, directed energy weapons, you know, that's a reality. You know, going back to what were the games of, you know, the Reagan era Star Wars objectives, right? And, you know, I remember being in high school and you went to Appalachian State University to, you know, see lasers and masers and get the, you know, lecture from the expert on, you know, what the capabilities are and et cetera. And, you know, that my father was military and he would tell me about, you know, things that they worked on at Holloman Air Force Base out there in White Sands, which a lot of the early space program back when it was organic came out of, and that's why my father was there. But, you know, some of the other research that was going on at that time was maser and laser technologies, and, you know, can this be weaponized? So, and, you know, how much does it take to change the temperature in a column, for example, to start an updraft? You know, that's the Bernoulli effect. And if you had a, you know, microwave thing that heated up this moist air and started a Bernoulli effect, you would change the weather pattern. It would take, you know, X amount of energy to do this, but, yeah, this is within the realm of what we can do. So I think you're spot on that we're being played at every angle. And also the farming, you know, the weather is maddening when you're trying to farm, and, you know, to all these people losing their crops because of this bizarre weather, you know, adds to the few food shortage, and that, you know, you're losing your local provided foods. So what do you say there?
Yeah, exactly. So weather warfare, I mean, it's huge. Who was it that said you control the energy, you control nations, but if you control the food, you control the people. And by controlling food, this is what they're talking about, control the weather. Because when they amplify what might be natural storms or redirect them, then you control the weather, or you suck moisture from one region and dump it on another region. So you're creating drought conditions, but you're also creating flooding conditions in other places. They really are going after the food, which ultimately is, I mean, that's we need food, right? So, I mean, and also, what have they been doing with all these food processing plants? I mean, that was last year and the year before when all these food processing plants were going up in flames, and nobody seemed to be able to explain that. I mean, we could explain it. We know what's going on. But
right,
in the main,
and they're not even hitting the mainstream news cycles now. If you hear about it, it's because your social media, somebody saw on page 47 that this article ran, that this huge processing plant just got burned down. And yet have we found one suspect, anybody claiming your responsibility, any of the was this deliberate or was this an accident? You know, none of that information has been forthcoming, but yet they continue to burn a lot of them around the North Carolina, South Carolina areas.
Yeah, it's like that it goes silent in the mainstream media and people are largely unaware of these. But then the other part of the food warfare against us is then they tell us that, oh, there's another outbreak of some imaginary virus in the chickens or in the pigs or in the beef or any number of things. And then the small operators, it's generally always the small operators, they have to kill all their livestock because of this imaginary disease that's gone around. And again, they're going after the food. They're going after the food at all angles. It's just, well, it's quite remarkable.
And like you said, they don't go after the big corporate processing plants. They go after the person with, you know, a half dozen, you know, laying hens in their backyard. And it's like, oh, that you're putting the community at risk with that. One of them might get sick and they would spread it to everyone. It might, you know, and yeah, this is just fairy tale virus theory. Yeah, all this
exactly. It's
like this, that doesn't work that way. But you're using that as a way to convince people that they have to destroy their own livelihoods. And if they don't comply, they're going to get in trouble with the state, the almighty state, or the, you know, community. Their neighbors are going to turn on them, you know.
And what really gets me is that, again, they shift the blame for the problems that they create. They shift the blame back onto the people, onto the Gentiles, onto us for things that they create. And isn't that just the same as the Holocaust story? They blamed the Germans for something they never did, and they are doing the very reverse. You know, they are exterminating the while Germany was at the center of that campaign, you know, the Germans were supposed to be all exterminated, and by extension now the white race is to be exterminated, but yet they blame us for these problems that they create, as in the climate change, global warming hoax, and, you know, too many cows, they're farting too much, and so, you know, they don't want us eating any meat anymore, and on it goes.
Right, and, you know, I hate to cut you off, but we are getting ready to go into a break. You're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack, and tonight we have the delightful Miss Monica Schaefer, and we'll be back after these messages, so stay tuned.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
It's got a hole in it. Yeah, my book, it's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman. It ain't got no man, 'cause my book, it's got a hole in it. Yeah, my book, it's got a hole in it. Yeah, my book, it's got a hole. I can't buy no beer.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Trading Post and back to RBN. And once again, RBN is listener-supported radio. Speak Free Radio is listener-supported radio. All these small, you know, network stations, you know, they fly by listenership. So, you know, please, please, please help. You know, if you still have resource left, be sure to send some to RBN. Keep shows like this on the air, because, you know, where else are you going to hear a show like this? Tell me. But anyway, our guest tonight is the delightful Miss Monica Schaefer, and she was getting ready to tell us a story about some vaccine things that she's been following, and then we're going to start taking your phone calls. And again, if you want to call into the show and ask Miss Monica a question or tell us what you want to talk about, call in at 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And so, Miss Monica, you right before the break, you were talking about vax tickets or some such?
Yeah, actually, this is a doctor in Germany who has now been sentenced to 3 years in jail because he obviously understood what this jab was about, that it was not going to be good for the patients. And I do believe that most doctors in their medical training still do take the Hippocratic Oath, which is about ethics, you know, doing ethical work. And their number one motto, I guess, is first, do no harm. And so he was issuing vax passes to people, and I would say he saved many, many lives by doing that, and he is going to jail. Now, he was issuing these vax passes without actually giving the jab, as we like to call it, the bioweapon jab. And so he was doing good. He was keeping his oath to do no harm. He's going to jail for that. Now, this is a really interesting philosophical question. You could argue that, well, maybe he shouldn't have been issuing these fake vax passes. But on the other hand, people, when they are coerced by such draconian measures that you will lose your job, you will not be able to enter here, there, and everywhere, you will basically be shut out from life and life's activities if you do not take this bioweapon. So, you know, you could argue this in many ways, but he was doing the ethically responsible and right thing, so thereby allowing people to live their lives and keep their jobs and keep a roof over their heads and keep being able to buy food to eat and survive, because he did not wish to poison them with a bioweapon, but issued them the vax pass, and he is being punished, going to jail for 3 years. So I just wanted to tell you about that. His name is Dr. Heinrich Habich. So he's from a town called Bochum, Germany. And yeah, I think that's a very, very interesting story.
Oh, that is a great story. Thanks for that. And I hate that he's going to jail, but there was a little good news at the end of last year where a German nurse had given over 8,600 patients a saline solution, you know, just an inert saline solution, instead of giving them the clot shot Jew jab. And she, they were trying to throw her under the jail, and they actually ended up giving her no jail time. So her name was 39-year-old Anche T, a Red Cross nurse. So I thought that was very a little bit enlightening. But, you know, one of the things, looking at this from a global perspective, and where they were really pushing the hardest was in Germany. They wanted Germans 100% compliance. And, you know, I think they wanted that in the United States, but they didn't come close. But, you know, they really pushed the maximum compliance in Germany. And you think, gee, Germany must perish. And after World War II, there was that plot to poison the water supply to kill 6 million Germans. And it's like, okay, how much more genocidal do you have to be before people start noticing that you're a genocidal death cult? So anyway.
And, yeah, and I would say the other silver lining of the story is that this type of thing serves to wake up many, many, many more people. And in Germany, I think, especially there right now, there is a big awakening happening.
That's great. That's great. All right, Mr. Producer, I think I'm reading this right. First caller should be Mr. Jay in Los Angeles. So let's take Mr. Jay. Mr. Jay, are you there, sir?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Happy Saturday. Yes, I hear you good.
Thanks for taking my call. Big fan of both of you guys. I have kind of a, not abstract, I know it could be a difficult one to answer, but I love your timelines. I've listened to pretty much everything you've ever put out, and I really love all the timelines you do. And I've been trying to talk to everybody I know that I meet and everyone in my family and explain what's been going on, as you referenced earlier. But one of the problems is making some sort of a timeline of what happened. And what I was going to ask, some things I listened to talk about, Freemasonry sort of being the initial part of a group of people that wanted to take down governments and take control of it. I know there was a huge Jewish influence in that. But where, in your mind, did this begin? Did this start with, like, the Rothschild banking family and then split off into, his children, and then they took over? And because you can get lost in the shuffle. It's like you have neocons that the Trotskyites took, and then you have liberalism that it really splinters off. So it's tough when you're talking to people to show that there is a cohesive thing behind it. The puppet masters are doing this. So I was wondering if you could kind of touch on a sort of streamlined, efficient way to talk about that and to display it in somewhat of a concise way.
Miss Monica, go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a really, really good question. I'm grappling with that every day, what approach to take with people to show them and demonstrate. One thing I like to bring up is who has been kicked out of countries time and time and time again since actually thousands of years. And so people generally know that Jews have been kicked out. And of course, the Jews have been using that as, poor us, we've been forever persecuted. And then the Holocaust is a perfect demonstration of them crying about being the ones who were persecuted, and telling the big story about 6 million of them being thrown into gas ovens. And yet, when you actually look into it, not a single homicidal gas chamber existed. And they did that to the Germans, which they accused the Germans of doing to them. So, I mean, how to actually streamline it, probably, I'm going to pass it over to you, Frederick, to take a stab at this.
That is such a tricky thing is, how much attention do you have with the listener? Can I throw out one dot and go at a safe distance and wait for them to react? Or could I string a couple of dots along? Know your audience. I guess that's one of the first thing you learn, and especially comedy or any kind of performance, is learn to read the room. Is it a receptive crowd or a hostile crowd? When people just genuinely aren't interested in what you have to say, and the old thing about, never try to teach a cow to sing, you can't do it, and it annoys the cow. So anyway, but great call, and keep studying that 9-layer timeline and just, pick out the nuggets from each of those sections and say, did you know, what are your favorite nuggets in that timeline? So great call. Thanks for
And I'll add one more thing, though. One thing that's really useful is to quote them, because the Jews do tell us a lot of things. And when they talk about it, they seem to be doing so in a, they brag about their, ownership of Hollywood or their ownership of the media, or they say, they're clever and smart and so they can do all these things, and they're very networked and organized. But when we say the very same things that they have just told us, then we are called anti-Semitic. So that is also a useful thing to do.
Great point. Use their words, and they've got some doozies. Read the Talmud sometime. Are those 613 mitzvahs? All right, Jay, anything else before we let you go?
One last thing. I know you had a history in Freemasonry, and I was wondering if you was it not until the very end that you realized that there was kind of a diabolical aspect of it, or were you just kind of was it just like a fraternity kind of thing at first? I was wondering what woke you up to what was happening in there.
Oh, we could do a whole show. And I have done entire shows on that. Some of those early shows I did.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it was, you know, it was when I was a young man, and it was one of those things I thought you were supposed to do. You know, you went to Scouts, you got your Eagle Scout, you graduate, you go to Scholar, you know, you get your degrees, and then you join, you know, local civic groups like the Ruritans and the Moose Club and the Freemasons. And, you know, all people I knew were Freemasons. I just thought it was yet another thing. And then you realize that, you know, this is a really dark thing, and you've made a blood oath, and you're not supposed to make blood oaths. A great call. So you have a great weekend, Mr. J. All right, Mr. Paul from Michigan. Can we have Mr. Paul in Michigan, please?
Hello, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, greetings. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you all. I was wondering if any of you had seen a video on YouTube. I watched it last week, and I forget who referred me to it, but it was kind of enlightening with regards to the wildfires both in Canada and California. And it was about an hour long. The person that posted it, their website is The Healthy American. It's called Looking for Clues in the Canadian Wildfires. But anyway, the guy that was being interviewed is a botanist. He's an older man. And he said he's been studying forest fires kind of from a forensic standpoint for years, you know, decades. And he's been to a lot of these Canadian and California fires and seen a lot of the anomalies, things like housing subdivisions or trailer parks where all the dwellings are just turned to white ash and there are trees standing around unscathed.
With green leaves.
Yeah, seemingly unscathed. And other instances where there are large copses of eucalyptus trees and ponderosa pines, which he says eucalyptus trees, you can light them up with a Bic lighter. They're so flammable because of the resins and stuff. And none of the leaves or needles are damaged on those, but the trees are dead. And some of the trees that were cut down, they're blackened and hollowed out in the middle. And there's only one thing that can do that, and that would be microwave energy.
Right.
And he showed fence posts where the only parts of the fence posts that were burned were the nails attached the wire to the fence posts. And it was just like that's the only part of the fence posts that were scorched was where the nails were. So I didn't need convincing, but I think it would convince anybody that saw it that there's something going on here other than just Mother Nature having a romp.
Right. Miss Monica?
Absolutely. You hit it on the nail on the head. This is part of their warfare against us. They are causing these fires to start and using these means and methods that it's nothing to do with nature. So, and also what these chemtrails, some of the things that they are spraying us with are the very same ingredients that are in firecrackers. So you've got old-time firefighters who have been around the block, and they say in recent years that the fire behavior, like if it is a forest fire, it's completely different than it was in the past. It's just explosive fire behavior when it they'd never experienced that in their earlier years in the past. So this is part of the war against us.
One of the other things he showed was two tires sitting next to each other. One tire was completely combusted, and the other one looks pretty much intact. And when he read the writing on the tire that was still intact, it was a fiberglass tire. It didn't have a steel belt in it. And the one that had been burnt to a crisp had a steel belt in it. Well, that's like
wow,
pretty damning evidence there.
Yeah, and if you've ever had anything like an MRI, you know that you can't have any metal on or it will do that to your skin, right? So, yeah, great call. I am reminded of the 1966 low-budget spy-fi, you know, comedy with James Coburn as Derek Flint, Our Man Flint. And if you remember the bad guys were the evil, you know, alliance of, you know, like Germany, et cetera, and they were using a weather weapon, against the entire world. And it's interesting to go back and look at some of these early Hollywood productions, look at the predictive programming, and then look, you know, think about where we are now with this type. And also in the Invaders, that series in the 60s, one of the techniques the aliens were using, of course, was weather warfare. So yeah, anything else before we let you go to this evening? We've got a couple more calls to get to.
Quickly, I'll just say I'm sitting here 7 miles north of the Detroit city limit, and back at the turn of the last century or the beginning of the last century, they referred to Detroit as the Paris of the West, and I'm thinking they might be able to do that again now.
Yeah, it's like Paris today. It's a good observation, but we shall make it to Paris again, right? So great. Have a great weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, can we have Michael in California, please? Mr. Michael, are you there, sir?
Yeah, hi. BB9, can you hear me?
Yes, coming in loud and clear. Happy Saturday.
Hi, Monica. Yeah, happy 4th of July. We still have some rights left in this country. Free speech is hanging by a thread as they continue to pass laws in different legislatures. It's creeping in, but we will continue to speak out our minds on the JQ question especially. And I know Donald Trump, can I swear on here? Can I use profanity?
This is a family show, sir.
Okay.
Keep
all
those
right.
Bombs, too. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Donald Trump did leave us a Supreme Court with some good rulings this last week. So that's one thing that he did is he did not appoint any Jews like Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. So I'm happy about that.
Yes,
that's
take our wins.
That's one win. They struck down the affirmative action, and the students are going to now have to go back to work now that the COVID's over. They're going to go have to find jobs and pay off the loans that they signed for and be responsible citizens. Right. And I'm happy about that. But, the battle goes back 2,000 years to when Christ was rebuking these Pharisees and these Phoenicians and these Canaanites. So this battle is going on, and it keeps going. And so we have to know where we stand with them. And it's very difficult because they operate very deceptively and very in the shadows. And so
yes.
It's really hard. It's hard to see them a lot of times of where they're coming from. But I like Monica's work, and I like your work.
Oh, thank you. Miss Monica, you want to reply?
I just want to say one thing that came to mind, and I've got a smile on my face when you were asking about the swearing. I've seen a great sign on some vehicles here, and they say, truck, fudo.
Okay.
That's pretty funny.
I call them, they're greasy and they're grimy. That's what I call them. Guys like Larry Fink, he's a greasy, grimy, you know what.
Yes.
And Larry Fink needs to be dethroned. They need to break up these hedge funds. I don't know how we're going to do it, but BlackRock having $10 trillion in capital, that's too much power. That's just too much.
Oh, yeah. You talk about weaponized mathematics is, you know, the derivatives markets, the hedge fund markets, you know, and I've actually done a few shows on that back in the Breakfast Club days, going back to pre-Enron days, even about how they've been doing this and what the target is. And anyway, well, I want to try to get to these last callers. So anything else before we let you go tonight?
Thank you. Have a great show.
All right, yeah, I always, you know, go back to, you know, 33 A.D., they crucified Jesus, and then 70 A.D., the Romans destroyed the temple. That war never ended. Once you get your head around that war never ended, it makes a lot more sense. You just got to get your head in the game. So, all right, Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. James in Vancouver, please? Mr. James, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, and good chicken swinger Saturday to you all. By the way, today is Canada Day, July 1st. And Ms. Schaefer, am I correct? You were in jail in Germany, is that right?
Yes, I was, for 10 months during 2018.
So you're Canadian, am I right?
Oh, yes, I'm a Canadian, and that video that I was thrown in jail for, I did produce that in Germany at my brother's place. He reverse migrated, so we all grew up here in Canada, and Alfred, he ended up going over to Germany and staying. He's been there since decades, and he was making great videos already, and I went over there and made that little tiny apology to my mother, and they didn't like that very much at all.
Right. So my question is did the Canadian government contact the German government and intercede on your behalf? Was there anything like that?
Well, no, they did kind of the opposite. In fact, interfered with the ability of the Canadian consulate in Munich. They wanted to attend the trial, and just as a basically as an observer to witness that we were getting a fair trial, because they can't intervene in the laws. That's not their role. But they were called by Ottawa just a couple of days before that trial began, and Ottawa forbade the Canadian consulate to attend the trial just as a witness. Mm-hmm. They were not allowed. So I would call that interference. No, the Canadian government did not come to my assistance. It was the opposite.
Were there any Canadian lawyers, perhaps, that were going to help you out, say, pro bono?
No, I didn't get any offers of that kind of thing.
Right.
If the great Douglas Christie was still alive, you know, I would imagine that he may have tried to intervene, but that's not the case.
Interestingly enough, we had a family friend who spent, 6 months in Eisenhower's prison. He came to Canada, I think, in 1950 with, he says, 50 cents in his pocket. By 1965, he was a millionaire. He was on the Russian front at 14 years old. So, all right. Thanks for taking my call. I'll talk to you again.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling. Hope you have a great weekend. Oh, yeah. Miss Monica, so we got about a minute left. So tell everybody what you're up to for the summer and the status on your dear brother.
Okay, that's really great that you asked about Alfred. So he has a 6-month sentence hanging over his head, and that verdict is final, and that literally is for that gesture that I talked about earlier. You know, he was explaining to another prisoner in the courtyard why he's in jail, and he was showing him, you know, how high his dog can jump, his dog Pavlov. I mean, this is, you know, obviously his fictional dog. And this gesture is so forbidden in Germany that the guard shrieked something about Herr Schäfer, Hitler salute, blah, blah, blah. And the other prisoner said, oh, no, he was just showing me how high his dog can jump, you know. So, but the guard freaked out about that. Now, I always thought that when there's a crime, there is an injured party. I don't know who is the injured party, especially in the courtyard in a jail, when he simply did that gesture. And he has been given a sentence of 6 months. The verdict is final. They just haven't yet picked him up to go serve that sentence. So he is still at home. Usually what they do is they'll send a document, say, show up at the jail door by such a date. He hasn't received that document yet, and he has no intention of going. But I suppose they'll have to come and give him the taxi ride there. So anyway, Alfred says, you know what, we're in a war. It doesn't really faze him too much. I mean, the harder they tell him not to do this and that, the harder he does these things, and these so-called laws are just blots of toner on paper, and I want to remind people about that. They have no legitimacy. They're based on lies and completely illegitimate laws. Yeah.
Right. I am so sorry to cut you off. We are out of time. You've been listening to Blackbird 9's Saturday Snack Shack, and our guest this evening is Miss Monica Schaefer, and until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
K Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.